4th, 1968. Today is the federal holiday that honors him. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Libby Rainey, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Tamari Astudio, Adriano Contreras, and Maria Terracena. Mike DeFilippo and Miguel Nogueira are our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Miriam Barnard, Hugh Grand, David Prude, Vesta Gadars, and Carl Marxer. And to our camera crew, John Randolph, Kieran Krug-Meadows, Anna Osbeck, and Matt Ely. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Donna of Donna and Honey's Love Motel, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
NBC reports that Representative Elise Stefanik refused to say that she would accept the 2024 election results and refused to criticize former President Donald Trump for his Hitler echo about migrants, and I quote, poisoning the blood, end quote, of America in a Meet the Press interview on January 8th. Stefanik said, and I quote, "We will see if this is a legal and valid election. What we're seeing so far is that Democrats are so desperate they're trying to remove President Trump from the ballot," end quote. Actually, Republicans, independents, and Democrats have made efforts to remove Trump from the ballot for attempting to overthrow the government with his support of the January 6, 2021 insurrection. The 2020 presidential election was free and fair, and Trump lost over 60 court cases trying to prove otherwise. Stefanik also broke with the police and supported the rioters who ransacked the U.S. Capitol, saying about those who have been jailed for breaking the law, and I quote, "I call them hostages. Some people call them prisoners. I call them hostages. Release the J6 hostages, Joe. Release them, Joe. You can do it real easy, Joe," end quote. Previously, Stefanik has ran for her seat saying she supported the police, not criminals. Previously, Stefanik called January 6, 2021, a, and I quote, "truly tragic day for America," end quote. Stefanik represents Rensselaer County and the rest of the 21st Congressional District. And you can read more about this story at NBC News. Brian Hubert reports for the Daily Freeman, a staff member for Representative Pat Ryan claims protesters at a pro-Palestinian rally on January 5th attempted to, and I quote, "forcibly enter," end quote, the congressman's office. Protesters have been regularly asking for Ryan to support a ceasefire in the Gaza war. Dan Torres, Ryan's deputy chief of staff and district director, said, and I quote, "I saw over a dozen protesters around the door who have masks on, and I heard walkie-talkie noises and chanting," end quote. And he saw a fellow Ryan staffer. He said, and I quote, "I see half of her face through the cracked door, and she's terrified and in a state of distress. Two of the protesters are on the door. One has their body partially in. The other had her back pushing back on the door, attempting to enter the space," end quote. Torres said he calmly engaged the protesters and occasionally chanted and yelled. Other protesters got on the building's roof and lowered banners, one with the names of the more than 22,000 Palestinians who have died since Hamas militants invaded Israel on October 7th, and another banner read, and I quote, "Pat Ryan, stop the genocide," end quote. And a third stated, and I quote, "90 days, 22,000 killed," end quote. Torres said he filed a police report, but the writer was unable to get a police comment. Ryan, a Democrat representing the 18th Congressional District, said he has, and I quote, "tremendous respect for people peacefully demonstrating," end quote, but was, and I quote, "very concerning to see his staff threatened. The vast majority of people at Friday's event were peacefully protesting," end quote. He said, and I quote, "Unfortunately, about 20 individuals decided to enter the building and forcefully open the door," end quote. The Daily Freeman story did not quote any protester, but the Times Union spoke with Daniel Otona, a member of the steering committee of the Mid-Hudson Valley Democratic Socialists of America, which helped organize the event. He said, and I quote, "It was hundreds of Hudson Valley residents coming together for pro-ceasefire, pro-peace, and pro-Palestine. It is frustrating that in Congressman Ryan's statement, he calls us a crowd of people and accuses us of all kinds of things that just did not happen, but does not acknowledge that we're his constituents. We're local people from local organizations who organized this event," end quote. The protest was organized by the Mid-Hudson Valley Democrat Socialists of America, Wednesday Walks for Black Lives, Jewish Voices for Peace, Middle East Crisis Response, Mid-Hudson Islamic Community, Veterans for Peace, Vassar Students for Justice in Palestine, Poughkeepsie for Palestine, and the Communist Party of Hudson Valley. Mia Inouye, a member of the Mid-Hudson Democrat Socialist of America and one of the rally speakers, said, and I quote, "I think civil disobedience has a long tradition on the left and in the anti-war movement. That's one of the tactics we use. I think it's completely appropriate given the extremity of the violence that we're witnessing every day," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Luke Parsnow reports for New York State of Politics that many of New York's 2024 congressional elections will be reruns from the 2022 elections with the same candidates. In the Hudson Valley, Democrat Josh Riley is running again in the 19th district primary after losing to Republican Representative Mark Molinaro in the 2022 general election. Democrat Steve Holden, who ran against Republican Representative Claudia Tenney in the 24th district in 2022, is now running against Representative Elise Stefanik in the 21st district. In a new contest, Republican Allison Esposito is challenging Democrat Representative Pat Ryan in the 18th congressional district. Esposito was the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor in 2022 with Lee Zeldin, losing to Democrats Kathy Hochul and Antonio Delgado. Another local election that will be different is the 20th congressional district, where Democrat Paul Tonko has served. Republican Liz Joy has said she will not try a third time to unseat Tonko. And Ballotpedia says Alexander Du Bois and Jonathan Locke are competing in the Republican primary to take on Tonko. The filing deadline in New York for congressional bids is April 4th, so other candidates could emerge. Primary elections are held over 2 weeks in June. Read more about this story in New York State of Politics. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that the Department of Labor says that Representative Mark Molinaro's claim that Governor Kathy Hochul directed it to identify job openings for illegal immigrants statewide is false. Bo Duffy, Department Commissioner of Strategic Communications for the Labor Department, said, and I quote, "The New York State Department of Labor initiative is only available to individuals who have attained legal work status. It is illegal under federal law to employ individuals without legal work status, and we follow federal law in all cases," end quote. The Labor Department did create a portal on its website where employers can tell them if they would be willing to hire asylum seekers once they have federal work authorization. The story says that the Department of Labor does not place workers in jobs, but gets them in touch with employment opportunities. Hochul did authorize a survey that found more than 18,000 private sector job openings at 379 companies who have identified roles that would be filled by immigrants with legal work status. Molinaro complained about those policies, saying, and I quote, "Upstate New York job seekers should come first. If Governor Hochul can have a campaign that identified thousands of job openings for illegal immigrants, then it's within her authority to launch a similar campaign with just as much resources and efforts to help upstate New Yorkers land jobs," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
The Public News Service DOA Newscast for January the 15th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Today, the nation honors what would have been the 95th birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. One central Indiana city is holding a food drive to uphold King's message of service.
Although federal and state offices and schools are closed, many see the holiday as a day on, not a day off, to honor his legacy. The community of Fishers, Indiana is doing so with a food drive. Stephanie Perry with the city of Fishers says food bank supplies are usually depleted after the holiday season.
So we thought this is such a great way to take the message of Dr. King, spreading kindness, supporting your community, and doing something a little different in a time where there is a huge need in our communities.
Nonprofit Feeding Indiana's Hungry estimates at least 11% of the state's population, or around 742,000 people, experienced food insecurity between 2020 and 2022. The group says the number of Hoosiers who have to skip meals or eat less is also higher than the national average. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Meantime, just under half of likely Iowa GOP caucus goers who support former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley indicated they would make a crossover to the Democratic Party, saying they would rather vote for Biden than former President Trump. A new NBC News Des Moines Register MediaCom poll released just a day before the Iowa caucuses found 43% of Haley backers in the state said they would vote for Biden if Trump is the GOP nominee. 23% said they would vote for the former president. At the same time, 8% said they would vote for the independent candidate, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The Hill reports overall 71% of likely GOP caucus goers say they would vote for Trump in 2024. Only 11% said they would vote for Biden. It is no secret the majority of state and local tax systems favor the wealthy, but New Mexico is making progress in turning that around.
The latest edition of Who Pays, a report by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, continues to show that education, public health and safety, roads and bridges are mostly funded by regressive taxes that affect middle and low-income families more than wealthy families. That's because those with the lowest incomes nonetheless put the largest share of their paycheck toward taxes. Bill Jordan with New Mexico Voices for Children says the state is slowly inching toward greater tax justice.
We had a very regressive tax system a few years ago, and now we have the ninth most fair, most progressive tax system in the nation.
I'm Roz Brown.
14 states, including New Mexico, provide child tax credits to reduce poverty and invest in children. This is Public News Service. Now we head to the state of Maine, where children of color are doing okay compared to their peers nationwide, but gaps in child well-being persist, according to a new report.
Maine children are less likely to live in neighborhoods with concentrated poverty, but Black children are more likely to live in lower-income households, and American Indian or Alaska Native students are less likely to graduate high school on time. Helen Heminger with Maine Children's Alliance says to achieve equity, all children need opportunity.
To have the supports that they need in the families that they're living in so they can achieve their full potential, and that has benefits not only for those children and families, but also for all of us who live in Maine.
Heminger says expansion of the state's earned income tax credit to all tax filers, regardless of immigration status, is one example of a targeted strategy that's helped improve the lives of Maine children. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
The Casey Foundation says expanded federal tax credits during the pandemic lifted 800,000 Black kids and more than 1 million Latino children out of poverty. Meantime, the California Public Utilities Commission just rejected Southern California Edison's plan to help families trade in their gas appliances for electric.
The CPUC argued that the $200 million four-year plan would have raised rates too much in the short term. But Nihal Srinath with the Sierra Club says the rebates would have taken between 25 to 75% off the cost of an electric heat pump or heat pump water heater.
That's not taking into account the fact that these electric appliances tend to be 3 to 4 times more efficient than gas appliances, and so customers would see almost immediate positive rate impacts on their bills.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
People can still take advantage of other electrification rebate and incentive programs. Check the website rewiringamerica.org. Finally, returning to the theme of this day, Danielle Smith lets us know in observance of MLK Day, there's a call to action to address the persistent wage disparity between Black women and their counterparts here in the U.S.
Black women were paid on average 64% of what white men were paid in 2021, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Economic injustice is a pressing issue, particularly in states like Mississippi, where the minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. Professional caterer Lillian Travis says she thanks Dr. King for his insights and fight for fair living wages, but emphasizes the fight for economic justice is far from over.
My background is restaurant, and I know for a fact that we are at the bottom of the totem pole.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. On May 9, 1966, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke in Kingstree, South Carolina, about the importance of voting on the eve of a state primary. Here are his words.
Let us march on ballot boxes until somehow we will be able to develop that day. Men will have food and material necessities for their bodies. Freedom and dignity for their spirits, education and culture for their minds. Let us march on ballot boxes until men and women will no longer walk the streets in search for jobs that do not exist. Let us march on ballot boxes until the empty stomachs of Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, Louisiana and South Carolina to feel. Let us march on ballot boxes until brotherhood is more than a meaningless word at the end of a prayer, but the first order of business on every legislative agenda. Let us march on ballot boxes.
We've linked to more of Dr. King's speech, archived at the University of South Carolina's Moving Image Research Collections at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, January 15th. We are 2.3% of the way through the year. There are 65 days until the spring equinox. Local early morning temperatures range from 5 degrees in Tannersville to a whopping 17 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 35 degrees. According to human eyeballs with official gear, snow was measured in Catskill at 1 inch, Middleburg 2 inches, and Jefferson near Middleburg at 3 inches. A frigid morning turns sub-freezing, hitting 29 degrees around 2 p.m. I know it's cold, but do the prep work now. Snow is on the way. Overnight, a small dip to 23 degrees ushers in snow starting around 3 a.m. By dawn, about a half inch of it should be on the ground. Then we get the typical snowy day. Definitely check closings in the morning. We have a combined experimental snow day prediction probability of 68%. 2 inches of snow will fall steadily through the day. The cold temperatures will make the snow pretty bad for snowmen, but good for blowing around. So travel may be impacted potentially severely in some places. You know, like the mountains. We get a high of 29 degrees. Snow ends shortly after dark and we see an overnight low of 14 degrees. Some people will need to turn on those pipe heaters. A mostly sunny day after that, we see a high of 28 degrees. Thursday, we'll get a high of 29 degrees, and it comes with the potential for some afternoon snow. Sunset today will be at 4:33 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:17 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-Class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be slow at 328 kilometers per second, with an average density of 5 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair only below 14 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 183. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Por favor, quiero que me complazca con la canción El Ilegal de Joan Sebastián para mi sobrina Elizabeth Santiago de Jesús y espero mi complacencia. Gracias.
¿Qué me habrá echado esa chica que me tiene arrebatado?
Hi, it's Celine again. So I have like another song request that's by a singer-songwriter named Lasa Gisela, and she sings in Spanish and French and English. Oh shoot, I should have looked up the song exactly that I wanted you to play. Let's see. So a nice song by her that you could play is Akara a la Red. So it's a really wonderful artist and singer-songwriter who's based more in Montreal and was actually my philosophy teacher's daughter. So that's how I came to find out about her. And I think that would just be a really wonderful listening experience for all of your listeners. And I hope I can ask for two songs because that's just what I did. Just
que tú me tienes temblando de noche y de día. Me quiere mandar pa' la tumba fría.
Tú me hiciste brujería.
Bruja, bruja, brujita.
Tú me hiciste brujería.
Demonio.
Tú me hiciste brujería. Me
echaste. Bueno, 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 bueno. Bueno, bueno, bueno. Pues, no. Uno, uno, uno.
Dos, dos.
Tres, tres.
Cuá, cuá.
Cuac, 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 cuatro.
Cuatro, cuatro.
Cuatro, cuatro.
Ajá.
Bienvenidos a la return.
Ajá, bienvenidos. Aquí estamos en el 2024.
Oh, my God.
Ajá,
cheers.
Estrenando programa.
Sí. Ajá. Last year estamos las brujas bilingües.
Y este año seguimos.
Yeah.
Seguimos siendo brujas.
Some things never change.
Nunca. Nunca vamos a cambiar de ser brujas.
Sí. Uh-huh. ¿Cómo está su holiday, su nuevo año?
Perfecto.
Gloria.
Hasta
me encanta.
Me encanta. Sí, está perfecto. Apenas estamos empezando bien.
Nice.
¿Y usted cómo está?
Perfecta.
¿También?
Sí. Bueno. Está perfecta, estoy aquí.
Aquí,
tú no estás aquí.
Yo ahorita un poquito aquí, un poquito allá,
yeah.
Pero aquí estamos.
Sí. Uh-huh. Yeah, happy 2024 to everyone.
Sí.
Hope, ¿dónde está la música?
La música se fue.
Okay, now it's back.
Yeah.
Some things never change.
Nunca va a cambiar.
Last year tenemos problemas con mi computadora.
Ajá.
Y decir también.
También es.
Problemas.
Problemillas.
Oh, uh-huh. Pobrecito.
Pobrecita computadora. Que
sí.
Ya necesitamos una nueva este 2024.
Yeah. Ajá. If anyone wants to buy me a new computer,
ajá,
you're welcome to.
Sí. Esperando si alguien se atreve, si es atrevido a regalar una computadora.
¿Qué es atreve?
pues que sea valiente y que diga yo puedo, yo se la puedo regalar.
Yeah, we're looking for a hero.
Ajá, ella, sí.
A hero, a computer hero.
Ajá, por favor, repórtense aquí con las brujas y digan sí. yo la regalo esta computadora.
Sí, mira, mira, pobrecito. Pero, ok, no problem.
No problema, seguimos con las computadoras viejas.
Sí, ajá. Sí, esta es mi de oro.
¿Esta es de oro?
De bueno. Mi corazón.
Oh,
no,
bueno.
No, not really.
Not really.
Not really, pero, you know, ¿quién es de oro de mío en mi corazón?
¿Quién?
Nuestras fans.
Oh, no, eso sí. Y cada vez también valen más. Sí. Porque te seguimos... con más fans, más y más.
Más y más
sí,
y más.
Gracias.
Y last year, uh-huh. We were playing as many voicemails as we can uh-huh. from nuestros queridos fans.
Nuestros
and
queridos fans.
Nunca acabamos. We
nunca.
Have leftovers.
No, y ahora tenemos más. Uh-huh. Estamos muchos
sí.
mensajes.
Las líneas están saturadas.
Saturadas. Gracias, querido público. Gracias, queridos fans.
Sí.
Seguimos aquí creciendo, aquí con mi amiga que les encanta a todos.
Uh-huh.
La pelirroja, peligrosa, picosita, pecosita y...
You know by heart. Sí, es mí.
Es
mí.
Uh-huh, sí.
Y yo estoy encantada para ser cerca de mi amiga de alma, Gloria la Mexicana. You've been away.
Uh-huh.
And now you're back.
Aquí
but
estamos.
Guess what? Now ¿qué? I'm going to go away.
Sí, se va y me abandona.
I know. Okay. So esta es una... segmento especial.
Sí, especial, porque se va de vacaciones a nuestro querido Puerto Rico.
Oh, sí, vamos a la playa.
Vamos a la playa a disfrutar por
thank
un
you.
Mes. ¿Se
yeah.
va por un mes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ni modo. Queridos fans, a esperarnos otro poquito.
Sí.
Pero
we'll aquí. Be back.
Ajá, pero yeah. sigan dejando sus mensajes que estamos...
Yeah.
No sabemos ni ya ni de qué mes tenemos mensajes.
I know. Well, yeah, you estamos... can definitely still leave messages. Maybe I'll leave you a message
mm-hmm.
On the voicemail from Puerto Rico.
Ajá, sí, mande. Sí.
Sí. Mm-hmm. And if anyone out there wants to call and leave a voicemail for us, we'd love to hear you even when we're on the beach or I'm on the beach. The number is 518-212-7509.
Mm-hmm.
We'll mention it at the end, too.
Uh-huh.
Pero, okay, vamos a hacer nuestros dedicados
ajá,
a vamos los voicemails.
A complacer a nuestros fans
sí.
del año pasado.
Yeah.
Ajá.
Welcome
entonces,
to 2024. We didn't forget about you.
Ajá, no, aquí estamos y aquí vamos a complacer a toda nuestra querida gente.
Sí.
Aunque los mensajes ya estén un poco atrasados por... tantos mensajes que tenemos, pero vamos a complacerlos con mucho gusto.
Sí, so mm-hmm. la primera that we played,
mm-hmm.
ella, no recuerdo su nombre, pero su sobrina está Isabel.
Oh, ella se me hace, la voz es como, se escucha como de... Es una voz muy especial, como que son de Oaxaca, ¿no?
Maybe.
Ajá, entonces esta canción creo que sí va dedicada a todos los de Oaxaca.
Okidoki.
Especialmente a la sobrina...
Isabel.
Isabel, ajá. Entonces esta canción está pero bonita.
So, esta canción es El Ilegal de Joan Sebastián.
Uh-huh.
¿Sabes esta?
Esta canción, mujer, es... número uno para todos los que hemos estado fuera y estamos aquí y no diga dónde está porque está cabrón pero es para todos nosotros que nos llega hasta el corazón.
Ey,
ajá.
Viva.
Ajá, viva, viva.
Viva, vivam.
Vivam.
Viva la vivam.
Viva la vida de los ¿cómo se dice la canción?
Ya el no me acordé.
Viva la vida de los ilegales.
Sí.
Con mucho orgullo estamos aquí.
Yeah.
Y aquí, como dicen, aquí estamos y no nos vamos.
What does that mean? ¿Nos vamos?
Ajá. Aquí estamos.
No vamos.
Aquí estamos. A ver, diga usted, aquí estamos y no nos vamos.
Aquí estamos y no los vamos.
Ajá.
We're not leaving.
Perfecto. Ajá. Perfecto para todos nosotros.
Yeah, I love it.
Ajá.
Okay, vamos a escuchar.
Vamos a escuchar esta bonita canción.
Que tú me tienes temblando de noche y de día. Tú me hiciste brujería. Me quieres mandar.
No me despedí de mis amigos. A mi amor y a mis padres dije adiós. A solas lloré, no había testigos. Y mi pena la supo solo Dios. Y mi pena la supo solo Dios. Al norte llegué sin un centavo. Con dolor me alejé de mi país. Ay, si hablar el río Bravo que crucé en una vieja raíz. Que crucé en una vieja raíz. Valle de Texas, West Lacoy, San Antón, Houston, Dallas van en mi canción. Texas es Texas, muy grande en extensión, pero cabe aquí en mi corazón. Y no me despedí de los muchachos, pero ya les mandé una postal. Dice hola bola de borrachos. Ya en serio, los extraña su amigo el ilegal. Los extraña su amigo el ilegal. Qué hermosa es la Unión Americana. Illinois, California y Tennessee. Pero allá en mi tierra mexicana, un pedacito de cielo es para mí. Un pedacito de cielo es para mí. Adiós Laredo, West Lacoy, San Antón, Houston, Dallas van en mi canción. Thank you.
Muy bonita canción.
Bonita, perfecta.
Sí.
Sí, sí.
Esta es perfecta para hoy porque it started with a little bit of rain.
Oh, sí.
Y
sí.
Hoy hay mucha.
¿Hay mucha agua?
Sí.
Sí, todo el día.
Todo el día.
Ajá.
Esta canción está a cara a la pared de Lasa something.
Sí, esta canción es de cara a la pared.
What does that mean?
Que ponga su cara en la pared. No sabemos qué hizo ella o no sabemos si es algo bueno o algo malo, pero ella estaba de cara a la pared.
But what does it mean, a cara a la pared?
Remember?
Face to the wall?
Ajá, así.
Like you're in a timeout.
Uh-huh. Entonces no sabemos por qué.
Oh, she got in trouble. esta es de cara a la pared de Lasa de Sela.
Lasa de Sela.
Sí,
bueno.
Ella es de Montreal.
Bueno.
Sí.
De Montreal.
Gracias para su recomendación a nuestra fan Helene.
Helene, gracias. No sabemos por qué te pusieron en la pared.
Yeah, I hope you're not facing the wall. In a timeout. Ella es en Oaxaca ahora.
Oh, pues por eso estamos mandando saludos a todos nuestros fans de Oaxaca.
Sí.
Arriba Oaxaca.
Hi. Y before that, nos escuchamos a Joan Sebastian.
Ay, ay, ay.
El Ilegal.
El Ilegal.
También bonito.
Bonita canción.
Yeah.
Especial.
Especial.
Ajá.
Esta es especial.
Ajá. Tenemos un programa especial también.
You sound like a snake.
¿Cómo?
Especial.
Especial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. ¿Y tú tienes saludos a su gente?
Ah, sí, yo tengo...
¿Una shout-out?
Sí, dos felicitaciones porque cumplen años. Hoy cumple años.
Oh, she's opening her big book of birthdays.
Pero lástima que no voy a poder a poner una canción ahora, pero vamos a de preguntar qué canción quieren que les pongamos.
Right, they can leave a message.
Ajá, entonces...
Or we can leave a message for them.
Uh-huh. Hoy quiero felicitar a mi hermana Isabel García Quesada.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to Isabel.
Oh, Isabel.
Isabel y Cristina. ¿Eh? Isabel es de Meritito Arnulfo R. Gómez, Canatlán, Durango.
Hey.
Isabel, te quiero mucho y te deseo lo mejor. Te quiero decir que eres también bien chingona. Chingona, ¿eh?
Definitely.
No crea que es cualquier
cosa. If she's related to you, 100% es una chingona.
Oh, no, sí.
Chingona de chingonas.
Ajá, chingona. Y acá también es otro saludo para una prima.
Okay.
Ajá, la prima es...
Your cousin.
Sí, mi prima.
Okay.
Ajá, es para la Cristina Camarena del Meritito Monte, California. Ajá.
Oh, Meritito.
Meritito. Y ella vive por La Sastre. Si alguien conoce a Cristina Camarena López de La Sastre, por favor, un abrazotote de mi parte y también que eres bien chingona.
Of course.
Sí, y también es chingona porque es mi prima. Si no fuera, entonces...
Hello.
Entonces, usted mande un saludo también.
Do I know anyone who has a birthday?
No, no sabe nada.
I don't think so. Y I don't know anyone who's born in January. Oh, just kidding. Mi amiga Jess y tiene una cumpleaños en enero.
Oh,
coming up, she's turning 30.
Oh, Turi. Oh, 30.
Sí,
está joven. Las de 30 son las mejores, de 30.
Oh, thanks.
Ya las de 40... no tan mejores, pero ahí la lleva.
And what about 50?
What, hombres,
then it comes back.
La mejor.
Back on it.
Sí, sí, sí. De 50 de cuenta que tenemos 20. Entonces, de las 50 y 60 estamos perfectas. Las que tengan 40, espérense a los 50 para que digan, no, right, estoy
it'll,
en la edad
it'll
perfecta.
Pass. Because,
ajá, entonces, sí,
so
sí.
Happy birthday, Jess, at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Y también happy birthday a mi otra amiga Luca,
oh, Luca,
que también she's turning 30 in febrero.
Oh, sí, sí, sí.
Bien. Y then en marzo, ¿quién tiene?
En marzo tenemos que buscar a ver a quién tenemos, pero de que
hello,
sale alguien sale.
I'm sitting right here.
Ajá.
Estoy Pisces.
Oh, Pisces, oh, sí, ya sí, se me olvidó. Pero, no, esta señorita hermosa, es, si alguien quiere regalar algo en marzo.
También, Pisces.
Oh, buena oportunidad para que le regalen su computadora. Oh,
yeah, okay, right. I need a computer for
no?
my birthday, March 6th, let's go.
Pero necesitamos rifar algo.
¿Qué es rifar?
Vender ticket para rifar.
Oh, a raffle.
Ajá, una sí, cerveza, un zapato viejo.
Oh, my God. Mira que Pisces también empieza con P.
Oh, con P. Sí, pues por eso
yo
a usted le gustan las
de
pez.
Los pez. Oh, alguien está aquí. Uh-huh. Okay, vamos a finir uh-huh, este especial programa
uh-huh,
con una canción
uh-huh,
que reminds me of vacation.
Uh-huh.
I'm so excited
sí,
to go.
Sí. Se nos va de vacaciones
sí,
con su novio. Entonces...
Oh. Mis Gordis Funky.
Su Gordis Funky.
Esta
funky
es para mi Gordis Funky.
Ajá.
La, one of my favorite singers, Caliuchis.
Bueno, Caliuchis, esa Caliuchi también está, para unos es la más bonita, para otros no tanto, pero pues.
Okay. Gloria no está un mejor fan, pero yo estoy
pero
una fan.
Hago un, hay unas fans. ¿Verdad?
Yeah.
Y usted es una fans.
Yeah.
Mi hija Mayra también.
Yeah.
Mi sobrina Yossi. Todas las jóvenes
yeah,
son fans de Caliuchi.
She's great.
Mm-hmm.
She's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, vamos a escuchar.
Vamos con Caliuchi, que es la más guapa de guapas.
Sí. So, esta es Flight 22.
Flight 22.
Adiós.
Adiós.
Yo voy a Flight 22.
Okay, me dice adiós desde arriba, por favor.
Yeah.
Le encargo que me se tome una foto y la mande desde arriba.
Yeah. Y, sí. Esta es Flight 22 de Caliuchis. Before we go mm-hmm, on esta flight, we're going to take another break while I'm away.
Uh-huh.
But absolutely, you can still leave us a message.
Sí.
518-212-7509.
Ajá, ya perfecta la mujer.
Thank you for the help.
Español. No, tiene que quebrarse la cabeza, ¿cómo que no?
I know,
no, entonces...
and I'm so excited to practice. Cuando yo regreso, yo pienso que yo tengo español de Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh. Cuando regrese esta señorita, si ustedes piensan que va a hablar español mexicano, no.
Uh-uh.
No.
Doble.
Español de Puerto Rico.
Esta no es bilingüe, es trilingüe.
Trilingüe.
Y...
sin pronunciar la R, por favor.
Okay. Gracias. It's so good to see you.
Oh.
Me extraño y... adiós a Flight 22.
Ajá, entonces hasta la pasta.
Hasta la pasta, mujer.
Esta, ajá, con esta bonita canción nos despedimos y siga dejando sus mensajes.
Sí.
Y igual deseándoles que tengan un feliz año.
Sí.
2024.
Let's go.
Que todo venga bien.
Absolutely.
Que tenga mucho amor.
Please, play ace. Yeah.
Hasta la pasta, baby.
Hasta la pasta. You to have it.
listening to WGXC Accra Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
We are talking about the need in New York State to raise the welfare grant for public assistance recipients. And we've asked two of the staff attorneys with the Empire Justice Citizen Center, Susan Antos, who's the managing attorney, and Haley Kulikowski, who's an attorney with them, to come on and talk about, you know, why groups are coming together, I believe under the End Poverty Now campaign, to ask for an increase in the public assistance shelter allowance and the basic needs grant. But so can we maybe just give us a brief introduction? Why, you know, what is Empire Justice Center? Why is this important to you or your, the people you represent? And what's the basic request at this point?
Yeah, so thanks for having us. So Empire Justice Center is a statewide public interest nonprofit law firm. And our mission is to make the law work for all New Yorkers, especially those who need protection the most, including, you know, people who are living in deep poverty, like those who are on public assistance. And, you know, we do all types of work. We engage in administrative and legislative advocacy, training, and impact litigation. And, you know, some of your listeners may remember us from a few months back where we came on to talk about our report, which discussed the need to increase the shelter allowance. And now we're here on a similar issue. We're talking about increasing public assistance as a whole, including the shelter allowance and another component of public assistance, which is the basic needs. So for those who may be unfamiliar, cash public assistance is a safety net program for New Yorkers living in deep poverty. It comes in the form of a monthly benefit. And as I said, it includes several components like an allowance for shelter, for energy costs, and for basic needs, you know, like basic household, you know, equipment, you know, cleaning supplies, bathroom necessities. And it's just so woefully inadequate. So just for a quick example, so people can imagine how low this is. If you were living in Albany, if a parent is in Albany with two children and, you know, they're unable to work due to illness, for in public assistance, they'd get $698 a month, $390 designated for rent for the shelter allowance, and $389 for everything else. That would be the maximum amount of public assistance they could receive. It's incredibly low. And in 2024, it's nearly impossible to live on. That's why we're recommending that the state take immediate action to increase the shelter allowance, basic needs, and ensure that rent supplements are available to all households who need them.
Now, we're taping this segment on Friday, January 12th. The Governor Hochul, is going to release her budget on January 16th. So some people may be hearing this after the budget comes out. But my suspicion is the governor's not going to be, you know, pushing for an increase in the welfare benefits in the state budget. You know, what has been any response either from the governor's office or from state, you know, legislative leaders about their willingness to, you know, raise the welfare grant? And when's the last time this has been raised?
Well, so, you know, like everybody else, you know, we are waiting to see what will be included in this budget. I wish I had a crystal ball to know. But we do know that, as I've just explained, you know, the shelter allowance basic needs are so inadequate, they need to be increased. And there is a growing recognition that these that the shelter allowance and basic needs need to be increased. So a letter just went out to Governor Hochul calling for an increase in public assistance, where dozens of organizations signed, I believe almost like nearly 100 organizations signed, you know, asking for this increase and recognizing how much it is needed. We've also, you know, seen within the Child Poverty Reduction Advisory Council, that they're commissioning research on the impact on reducing poverty in children by increasing the shelter allowance. So we're looking forward to seeing their research when that comes out too. So there is this kind of growing recognition that this is so desperately needed. And, you know, to answer that last question about, you know, when was the last time it was raised, is it's gone on for so long where this has not been raised. So it just cannot reflect the reality of what costs are. So for the shelter allowance, at least, was last increased for families with children in 2003. And if you are a person on public assistance without children, that was last increased in 1988. So, you know, it's been decades since these numbers have been increased. And for basic needs, Susan has some more information about that.
Yeah, that was last increased in 2012. It was a 10% increase that was enacted in 2010 and implemented over 3 years. And the last year was 2012. So it was a very small increase even then. And, you know, as Haley mentioned, in every she mentioned they were low, but I can tell you that in every single county, the public assistance grant is less than 50% of the federal poverty level, which is just over $2,000 a month. And in counties like Albany and Erie County, which are on the lower end of the spectrum, it's about a third of the poverty level. So the basic needs allowance is desperately, desperately low and in need of being raised.
And, you know, in my understanding, we talk about the basic needs allowance, because the actual shelter allowance is so small, people end up taking their basic needs money to supplement their housing costs, and that leaves less money for, you know, say food, which drives up the demand at emergency food programs. Now, Governor
Absolutely. And actually, if I want to clarify, those numbers I gave you for Erie County and Albany, that's if you take basic needs plus shelter, you're at 33% of poverty. I don't think I made that clear. It's the total of the two that bring you up to a third of the poverty level.
Now, Governor Hochul, both last year and this year, as well as some of the state lawmakers, have made affordable housing a cornerstone of what the Democrat, you know, leadership needs to do here in New York. Have they tied, well, you know, one of the things we need to do to make housing more affordable is to raise the shelter allowance. Has that been part of the mindset of the governor, or even, you know, Speaker Hastie or Majority Leader Cousin Stewart?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can speak for their mindset, but we do know that when we want to be addressing this really complicated issue of poverty and affordable housing, you know, building new affordable housing is definitely going to be a part of it. But it's also critical, you know, in our opinion, that households in deep poverty, that we also address this issue of the inadequacy of the shelter allowance, because building housing, new housing can take time, and people receiving public assistance need to be able to pay rent now. So even when, you know, we believe that affordable housing is part of the solution, we know that affordable housing, that rent isn't going to be $0. So we do need more affordable housing, and we also need to increase public assistance so that recipients can afford rent. And I think for us, we think that both of those things are going to be part of the solution for solving this really complicated issue of poverty and affordable housing in New York.
And Mark, just so you know, there are bills in both the Assembly and the Senate that are being sponsored by chairs with considerable power to both raise the basic needs grant and the shelter allowance.
So we have a little bit under 2 minutes left. So I'm going to ask you a broad question, and then you can figure out how to use your last 2 minutes. You know, I guess the biggest question, if people want more information, particularly about how they can express their viewpoints on the shelter allowance and welfare grant, how best can they do that? And in the last 90 seconds, are there other, you know, key anti-poverty measures the Empire Justice Center is pushing that people should take a look at?
Yes, there definitely are. We're going to be submitting testimony for the Human Services budget hearing, and that testimony will be on our website. I don't have time in a minute to explain it. I can tell you there are about 10 important items, including making the penalties for people who are what are called sanctioned on public assistance, who get their grants reduced, making it consistent with the rules in New York City, which were changed in 2015 to be kind of kinder and gentler. They give people a second chance if they make a mistake, and instead of having their grants cut off, they're given a second opportunity to comply. And that's a bill that actually passed both houses in 2021 and then was vetoed by the governor. We're hoping it will come back. The governor said she didn't oppose it, that she just needed more information on the fiscal impact. There is no fiscal impact. We're really sure about that. We've done a lot of digging. That's all on our website, which is Empire Justice, www.empirejustice.org.
Well, thank you very much, Susan Antos and Haley Kulikowski with the Empire Justice Center. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.